Coming up this week, Jamie Theakston on The Power Radio has to raise money for charity as he walks from Cardiff to London for Global's Make Some Noise. James Cridland looks at the choice for listeners created by new technology. And David Lloyd has more radio moments from this week in radio history.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
That's all to come, and Stu versus Roy is back this week as well. Radio Today's Roy Martin here as always to look through the week's big industry news. Hello, Mr. Roy.
Hey, Mr. Stu, how are you?
Enjoying the sunshine this week, sounding good in the sunshine and all that. Glenn Hunt is with us as well, former Rock FM, Radio City, Real Radio, more recently at Tower and BBC Radio Lancashire, and now available for your station too. He's also one half of the presenting team on Yvette and Glenn's Anytime podcast show. You guess which half he is. With Yvette Fielding, he also stars alongside her on Most Haunted on the Telebox. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hello, you two.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you both? All right.
Yes. So we're going to talk about stuff that's been happening in radio this week, and I think the return of Stu versus Roy as well. Glenn is going to ask us some geek questions.
Yes.
And a chance for Roy to pull level, because I think it's 4-3 to me from previous rounds.
Really? Have you actually been counting?
Does anybody keep score?
No, I think even within each quiz. Yeah, there we are. Glenn, this podcast that you've been doing, it's going quite well. You've got a lot of listeners. Tell us about it.
It's Yvette and Glenn's Anytime podcast show. It's hosted by Audio Boom, who then obviously distribute it through all the channels like Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify and iHeartRadio and TuneIn, all the regular podcast platforms. You can pretty much get it anywhere. And it was Yvette's idea, actually, because when I was on Real Radio Northwest, Yvette would come and co-host with me, and that's where I first met her. And and she missed being on air when she was away from it, and she contacted me once before she even invited me onto to Most Haunted and said, how about we do this podcast? I was like, yeah, do you really want to? I said, we don't get much out of it, really. You know, there's no money in it, really, in this day and age. And she went, no, I just want to do it. And it's basically us two having a bit of fun. So obviously, there's a lot of people surrounding us. So we've got our own mothers involved with it as well now. We've got Yvette's husband, Carl. There's usually kids meandering past because it's recorded in either of our kitchens or even at Yvette's mum's kitchen. So there's that real element to it. And we will talk about anything, and the beauty of it not being a broadcast radio is you can get away with saying pretty much anything, not inflammatory, understand, but get away with saying anything that you would do with your mates in the pub, in the sense that you can let a few colourful metaphors fly. There can be a bit of choice language. Some of the subjects from the listeners who are properly engaged with it, the email response is brilliant, more so than I've experienced in radio in recent years. They're fully engaged with what you're doing on social media as well. They go out of their way to download it or subscribe, and listen, and the reaction they get, it is just inane conversation, which is silly. We're not trying out to do anything clever. It's just us being ourselves and having fun and laughs along the way. And some of the responses we get from one of my favourite emails came from Australia, from a guy who said when he's travelling in his truck through some of the radio dead zones there, where there's no broadcast signal, and he knows he's going to be going through these places for a while, he pre-downloads the podcast and it gets him through those journeys, and sometimes has to stop the truck for laughing. So, you know, we get a lot of that. People telling us that they've been going through a bad time and the podcast has been the exact tonic they needed as well to start smiling again. So obviously it's helping people get through some tough times and enjoying audio content all over again.
I think you hit the nail on the head as well, because I'm not saying people don't pay attention to what you say when you're on the radio, but they've chosen to listen to that podcast. You're not on in the background. You're quite often in their ears.
No.
And that's why you get that engagement and people getting their cheesy balls and eating them while they're listening to you.
Well, that's it. That came off the back of something where, you know, I brought some snacks from the supermarket to eat while we were recording a podcast once. And I just said, yeah, would you like one of my cheesy balls? She burst out laughing. And then suddenly all the listeners are saying, oh, we've got to have cheesy balls now. I'm surprised, you know, we haven't got a contract with some kind of manufacturer of them. Cadbury's Fingers is another one, you know, do you fancy a finger? And it's just stupid, childish humour sometimes. You know, we're not pretending it isn't anything other than that. But it makes us laugh. And those that choose to engaged with us are laughing along with our humour as well, and they are fully engaged with it.
It's so poppy. You've done one live show where you do it with an audience, and you've got another one coming up as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I went to Radio City St John's Beacon, and there's the spare zoo space area upstairs, and we thought we'll try it out there. Cheeky sods charged me as well, by the way. Considering I was on air there for 7 years. But we're going to do another one in December as well. At the moment, we're still looking at locations close to where Yvette and I live in the northwest of England. So somebody's come forward and found us a room which can host up to 200 people. So we're looking at that, and tickets are on sale through eventbrite.co.uk.
Nice plug.
Yeah, thanks.
So from obviously all those years on air in the northwest, you branched out a bit now with the podcast, but also doing some telly. How have you found the move to TV?
Yeah, it's weird. When you're in a studio, you're kind of much in a cocoon, aren't you? You sat at a desk, you're in full control of the faders and dials and buttons in front of you, and you know what you're doing. You are the central point of everything you're sending back out to the transmitter, and you're in control. When it's TV, you're just given a camera, and there's lots of other people around you. So you're relying on whether the sound recordist is happy, or if the lighting cameraman isn't happy with, if we stood in the shadows, or if something wants redoing, or if they want to do the same thing we've just done but from a different angle, especially on the walk around sequences that we do on Most Haunted, and that's great because we get to explore all these buildings that the public at large don't normally get to visit in off-peak times, and enjoy the history of the places as well.
So you're on a number of different outlets. You've got radio, you've got podcasts, you've got TV. Which one's the best?
Radio's always been my first love. it has, ever since growing up. The two stations that I used to listen to were BBC Radio Lancashire, and when Red Rose Radio came on air in the early 80s as well, those were the two stations I always wanted to work at, and when I finally did, I've ticked the boxes. Everything else that's come after that has become a bonus, really, especially working at the likes of Radio City. I never imagined I'd ever get to work there, and I did, and had a great rapport with the audiences in Merseyside, and then on to a regional radio station as well, like Real Radio Northwest, or Century as it was when I first joined. It's been brilliant. I couldn't have asked for any more. Don't get me wrong, I'd love a national gig, but that's you never know though, do you?
Talking of which, you've just left Tower, so you're available for work, I'm guessing. What's your phone number? What's your email address?
Don't give your phone number out.
You can reach out to me on Twitter or on Facebook, of course. Radio Glenn is my Twitter handle. But it's... it's interesting that Wireless Group, it's spending a lot of money on its national services with Chris Evans coming from Radio 2 to Virgin Radio. The local stations were the poor children of the family, really. So that's kind of where you see the money going, and the sales team are on an awful lot of pressure, especially in the Northwest, which is a competitive market. So I've become a casualty of that. I'm freelance. But they've asked me back, so I am actually. I've been covering my old show on Tower. I've been doing breakfast shows on Wish. I was at Signal 2 today, and I've done the network for Wireless Group on the local stations from Signal 1 as well on some weekend shifts. So I've been everywhere, and I've been producing shifts at BBC Lancashire, as well as being trained on the VIR vehicles, which, for those who don't know, are the outside broadcast cars with the satellite dishes on the roof. So I'm fully trained to go out reporting for the BBC on locals. One thing that programmers have said to me on pretty much every station I've worked at is, you are versatile. They can put me on a hit music station and not worry. They can put me on a classic hit station and not worry about it. They can send me in to interview somebody about the history of nursing at the NHS, and I will do it. You have to, in this day and age, I think, be able to diversify.
Moving on after your selfless plug.
Well, that's what you got me here for, isn't it?
We did ask you for it, yes.
You can edit as much out as you like, by the way.
Yeah, we'll take his phone number out. So on with the rest of this week's news. There's a job going at Radio 1. You fancy evenings at Radio 1. Charlie Sloth announced this week that he's off.
After almost 10 years of dedicating my life to BBC Radio 1 Extra and Radio 1 and achieving everything I set out to, I've decided the time has come to leave the BBC and seek a new challenge. I want to thank everybody who has listened to me over the years and supported me in everything I have done. I love you, and the journey continues. I also want to say a huge thank you to the following people for always believing in me and supporting me while at the BBC. Lisa right. James, Alex Lourdes.
Yeah, okay. He's got a long list of people there. Let's fade him out. Yeah. Let's get rid of him. He read out about 20,000 names of people to thank. We weren't among them, though.
Do people really care when you leave a station, though, you're moving on? Because I don't think listeners, especially in this day and age, really do.
Well, rumour is he's apparently going to Apple Music to Beats One and going to curate some playlists and stuff there. Somebody else who we thought was disappearing from the radio isn't disappearing from the radio, and that's DJ Semtex.
Me and rumours that I left radio. I could never leave radio. You're mad.
No.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm on the radio every Friday, 9 to 11. New show. New music, it was US, UK, best in hip-hop, every Friday on Capital Extra, home of hip-hop.
Home of hip-hop.
Ah, that's where he is.
That's where he is. So well done to Semtex on his new gig. You can hear him Friday nights apparently on Capital Extra, if that's your kind of thing.
Cool.
Mark Radcliffe, we wish him lots of well. This was an announcement on The Folk Show on Radio 2 this
now,
week.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sad to say that, unfortunately, I've got some cancerous tongue and lymph node issues. And so, as I'm sure you'll understand, I'm going to be disappearing for a while to get all that sorted out. It's all been caught very early, and so everything should be fine. All being well, I'll be back in action in the new year, or sooner if I feel well enough. But I will be back, you can depend on it. I just can't say exactly when that will be. So, you won't hear from me for a while now, and therefore, well, Merry Christmas, I guess. Life, eh? Let's finish tonight with Loudon Wainwright III, a new collection.
Lots of love for Mark Radcliffe on Twitter after he made that announcement as well. Simon Mayo, another Radio 2 rumour, story in one of the papers this week that he's going to Smooth. Do we reckon he would go somewhere like that?
I'm not entirely sure.
You got to love these newspaper reports, haven't you? Full page of information about him leaving, and then at the bottom it says, but chances are it's not going to happen. So what do you believe?
I think people need to give Simon Mayo and Joe Wiley a chance. I quite like Joe Wiley's voice, and Simon Mayo, I really rate. He had my all-time favourite breakfast show at Radio 1 when it was him, Diane and Rod. And, you know, that's three people on air, and they gelled really well together. So, and I think it's going to be a similar story for him and Joe Wiley. I think they still need time to bed in. You need at least 1 or 2 years to get used to a new show anyway. So I think they've got plenty to offer.
There he is. That's the fan. That's the fan of the show.
Found him.
Glenn's the one that likes it.
Well, as we're recording this, Tuesday drive time, apparently it's Simon and Lisa Tarbuck. She's covering for Joe today. So read into that what you will. We're going to talk very soon to Jamie Theakston on this podcast, part of Global's Make Some Noise this week. He's been raising money, and overall they got £4.2 million. So well done to everybody at Global who was involved in that. Hey, this LBC thing is interesting. So they were getting accused of right-wing bias with Farage, and Ofcom weren't happy about that. Now left-wing bias, with Jeremy Corbyn chatting to Sadiq Khan, and they've said it was all a bit labour-y, and you've got to balance it within one programme. So Ofcom calling them in for a bit of a talk.
Yeah, and warning other stations as well. Not that many other stations would have a half-hour interview between the two. But that happened a year ago, but the report's only just come out, so it's a bit unfair. I'm sure they've learned their lesson by now.
It also depends as a listener on to which side of the fence you sit politically, doesn't it? If you hear somebody who's got an opposing view to you, then it stands out even more so than somebody who's probably on a more neutral stance.
Yeah, this was the conversation I had a few months ago, actually, on this podcast with Julia Hartley Brewer, the kind of biases in the ear of the listener. Like
exactly.
The beauty in the eye of the beholder. So, yeah, and you see that when I've been at working at Five Live, the texts that come in when you're talking about a political topic, you get as many calling you right-wing as you do saying you're lefties. So people hear it how they want to hear it. Yeah. Tony Blackburn is going on tour with Sounds of the 60s, with a band playing some 60s music. Nice spin-off him. Apparently he's been wanting to do it for a while. Sounds a good idea.
Is he coming to Blackburn, though?
I don't think so. It's all in the South, isn't it?
Yeah, the report says UK, but there's New Brighton, which is clearly in the northwest, but I think that's the only one north of Watford. Oh, and Skegness as well.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Maybe more dates will be added. We'll see. And interesting thing Five Live are doing, I don't know whether you've seen this, the TalkSport got the rights for the upcoming England cricket tour in Sri Lanka, and they're doing the live ball stuff, but Five Live are doing this online cricket social programme, so they're going to have the Test Match special team, no commentary, but just talking about it and reacting to stuff that's going on. So it's like a live text website thing, but with people talking. Maybe that's the future for commentary.
Yeah, well, some stations have the like a football social social now instead of a football phone in, don't they, where they basically just read out tweets. So maybe that's the way it's going.
We'll see. Right, there's lots of events coming up, not least Segway in Leeds next week, Wednesday and Thursday. It's the Arias Thursday night. We'll see you there. Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Tony Hadley performing. It'll be Rage Hour again before you know it, and then we're well and truly into awards season with the Student Radio Awards, the Audio Production Awards coming up, the Gillards. There's Radio TechCon, and Vox is coming back. It's happening on the 24th of November.
Yep, looking forward to the majority of those. We shall see you there. I'm coming up north next week to see you, Stu.
Blimey. That's come around soon,
yeah,
hasn't it?
I'll
look forward to that. Right, so should we have a game of our geek quiz? We don't do this every week. We just kind of bring it on every month or so. And it's a little bit of fun. And Glenn is going to ask us some geek questions.
All right, so I've come up with these for you. So buzz in with your names when you think you know the answer. Question number one, who was the first presenter of the Night Owls programme on Metro Radio in 1974?
Stu.
Right.
Stu.
James Whale.
Correct. Question number two. James Whale's Radio Air Late Show began simulcasting on sister station Red Rose Radio in which year?
Stu,
Roy?
I'm going to guess 1986.
Incorrect. Roy, have a go.
84?
No, later than that, 1989.
Oh, really? I thought Bezig was on at that point.
Yeah, you were 5 years out. 1989 was the launch of two BBC local stations. One was Hereford and Worcester. What was the other?
Stu, I'm going to go for Coventry and Warwickshire.
Incorrect. Roy?
I feel like saying something else, but I don't know what.
Well, you should say something else. If you said the same thing, that'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it?
89, so...
You're looking it up, aren't you? Stop Googling.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to think which of the newer ones. I don't know. No, I'm going to pass.
Okay. BBC Wiltshire Sound was the answer.
I wouldn't get that.
Okay. Was I nearest geographically?
Maybe, perhaps. Wiltshire-based commercial station Spire FM is owned by the UKRD Group. Which radio group did they sell their station 2BR to?
Roy.
Go on, Roy.
That'll be Global.
Correct. Yeah. You've got a point each. And finally, when Global Radio bought GMG Radio, who was the male presenter of the breakfast show on Real Radio Northwest?
Roy.
Stu.
Roy.
Was it
Roy.
Glenneth Hunter?
It certainly was me, yes.
Can't set well yourself as the answer to the question.
Well, I was absolutely sure I knew the answer. 2 points to Roy, 1 point to Stuart.
So Roy has pulled level. It's four all.
Congratulations.
Four all. We'll have to see if we can get a decider in before Christmas. I reckon we can make that happen.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, Glenn. It's nice to catch up with you.
It's been a pleasure. Good to see you both. And let's do another Back to the Future video soon.
Thank you, Marty.
That's the power of Roy.
It is.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualization through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
This is the Radio Today programme, and as we mentioned, this week was Global's Make Some Noise Day. People across the group and its brands came together to raise money for various charities. £4.2 million just about raised in total, and among that was £173,383 raised by Heart London Breakfast presenter Jamie Theakston. Now, Jamie walked seven marathons in 7 days. That's over 180 miles from Cardiff to London. And I spoke to Jamie on Wednesday when he was on day six, and I started by asking him why he decided to take on this crazy challenge.
It's a question I've asked myself several times over the last few days. It is crazy. It's a silly idea. I'm not really built for any kind of athletic endeavour, let alone walking 186 miles. So it's kind of came about really because Global's Make Some Noise helps lots of charities across the UK. And one of the things that we try and do before Global's Make Some Noise Day is get out and visit as many of those charities as we can. And so I think it was my producer came up with the wheeze. Well, why don't we combine the two and visit all the charities and meet the kids and the people behind the charities whilst we're raising money? So that's how Jamie's long walk to London was born, I guess.
So you set off from Cardiff. We're talking to you Wednesday lunchtime. Where are you at the moment?
So we are now, we've just arrived into Windsor. So I can see planes coming over us from Heathrow. We're just alongside the river. Windsor Racecourse is on my right. It's all very beautiful. But the most important thing is I kind of, it's all getting a bit familiar to me now. So I feel like we're on the final stretch.
Yeah, you're nearly there. You must see London kind of as not far away now. But obviously you've not walked down the hard shoulder of the M4 between Cardiff and London, so you've seen a bit of the country as well.
Yeah, we set off from Cardiff. We kind of skirted around the outskirts of Cardiff, walked alongside the Severn Estuary, which was beautiful, across the Severn Bridge. That was pretty stunning. And then made our way along the Ridgeway and then dropped down onto the Thames Pass. So, yeah, I mean, as you quite rightly say, we kind of zip along the M4. We never get a chance to see any of the countryside. And so it's been great. It's been really good fun.
And as you say, you've been meeting the people from the charities along the way, and that's been quite emotional for you. I know Tuesday morning, you got quite teary, yeah, talking about it with Emma on the show, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's physically draining. Obviously, walking 26 miles a day, not really struggling to get to sleep because of the pain at night, and getting up at 5 a.m. to do exactly the same thing. And it's emotionally draining because we're walking with the kids who Globals Make Some Noise is raising money for. So it's a kind of double whammy, really. And you do that again and again and again and again and again and again, and after a while, I think it all got a bit too much.
And how's it working technically? You've been doing those hookups with the studio. You're finding signal to get on air as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's a sort of social media age, really. It's transformed the way in which we do things like this. People can now keep track of where we are and what we're doing, not just, of course, on air, but also on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter, what have you. So I think it really, people feel that they can be part of it and get involved a lot more than maybe they could in the past. So, technically, we haven't had a problem. We've been FaceTiming back into the studio on all of our links, so that obviously not only is that going out on air, but people can see what we're doing as well, because we can post those as videos as well. So we haven't really had too many challenges technically. Fingers crossed. We haven't got that yet.
and you'll know this from doing it for what, 13 years now, the power of a radio station being able to deliver messages and fundraising for charities. A lot of people think commercial radio is just about having a laugh and playing the hits, but Make Some Noise and the work that many other commercial radio stations do really does make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think radio. We've been hooked up with a lot of the local stations on the way through in the southwest and in Gloucester and Swindon and a lot of the heart stations. And, you know, radio, especially local radio, connects in a way that few other mediums tend to. So you ask people to spend their, you know, their mornings with you, obviously every day, which they do willingly. And of course, it makes it far easier then if you put yourself out the limb and ask them to not only connect and listen but to donate as well. They find it far easier to do that if you sort of get my drift. It's, you know, they're people that spend their days with us anyway. So I think a combination of those two things make for a pretty powerful fundraiser. And as we stand, I think we've doubled what we'd expected to raise anyway. So we've exceeded our expectations, and I just want to thank everyone who's donated for that.
And while we've got you, while you're out the studio, an old friend of yours has kind of made a big announcement that she's going to go up against you in the mornings on the radio. what do you think about Zoe going to Radio 2, Jamie?
She's a perfect choice. She'll be brilliant. I know she will. You know, we've worked together for many years, and Obviously, we've done mornings together in the past. Now I don't remember, hadn't really thought of us as being rivals, but I guess that's the case, you know. But I'm really chuffed for her. I'm really thrilled. And I know she'll do a great job.
Have you got any advice for her? Because she's about, I think she's, is she a month older than you? But she's just starting back on Breakfast Radio. Would you want to be starting out a new breakfast show again at your age?
I'm thinking we're at our absolute prime. I don't know what you're talking about. No, she's done it. Well, it's funny, really, because she obviously did breakfast before I did when she was at Radio 1. When I was at Radio 1, she was doing breakfast, and I wasn't doing breakfast, so she's kind of she's more of an expert than I am. Yeah. I'm going to have to go because I've got someone here who wants to say hi. This is the great thing about the walk, is that we see people on the way who are wishing me luck and donating and keeping us going. So it's great to see.
Well, we wish you lots of luck as well, Jamie. And let's get back to Leicester Square and make sure your feet are still in one piece when you get there.
Thanks very much.
That was Jamie Theakston, and you can see some of the videos from his week on foot by heading to jamieslongwalk.heart.co.uk. Radio Today programme regulars James Cridland and David Lloyd are still to come. First, a quick word about Clean Feed, if you've not heard about it. If you're doing OBs or interviews with guests or co-hosting a show from somewhere different, not in your normal studio, then Clean Feed could help you out. It's designed for radio people and for podcasters as well. And if you use Clean Feed, you'll find it's really simple to connect live, decent quality audio just in a browser over the internet. The quality is great and you can record right within the browser application as well. CleanFeed won't cost you anything to get started. It's a free version and it only takes 30 seconds to sign up, and within a minute or two you'll be doing your first live interview or recording somebody for your show or your podcast. And you'll find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, new tech offers radio listeners more choice. New technology enables us to delight our listeners even more. Particularly, radio operators are now offering more choice than they ever have. In Australia, Southern Cross Austereo have been doing a crafty job of launching additional brand extensions for rock and sports station Triple M. And their top 40 channel, Hit. So listeners can now enjoy Triple M branded stations playing modern rock or classic hits, for example, while listeners who enjoy R&B Fridays on Hit can now find a channel that plays that music 24/7. The stations are available on DAB Plus and online. SCA's work has resulted in 12% more audience for the radio company in what they call a brand safe environment. RTL in Berlin in Germany have also started doing something new just last week that's helped offer more choice to their listeners. Arno and the Morning Crew, the live breakfast show from the station, is now available through their website and in their app with three different types of music. It's the same live radio show that broadcasts on the number 2 rated Hot AC station in Germany, but now you've the choice of top 40 or of greatest hits. And from Germany to Austria, Kronehit has a service within their app that allows you to listen to the radio station you enjoy, but skip songs or other elements that you don't want to listen to. It automatically plays other brand-relevant music, but continues to have the same presenters, weather, news and travel. And they've been running this since June 2017. And if you listen to Heart or Capital in the UK, you'll hear a fair amount of national programming, but with presenter breaks that are occasionally local when they need to be. This method of smart networking allows a national presenter to still react to local events when they need to, from helping audiences with a power cut to being able to promote their local breakfast shows when required. New technology often has a bad name within radio chat rooms and forums, and there's no doubt that poor voice tracking or networking is pretty obvious to listeners. But this new technology makes radio sound better. and better able to compete against the world of Spotify and podcasting. As Mark Haberland, who is PD at 104.6 RTL, says, radio's strengths are the music and the spoken word, presenters to move and entertain you, and news and information to keep you up to date and help you through your day. So anything that helps keep radio's strengths but adds new choices to audiences must be a good thing. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net or on your smart speaker. And until next time, keep listening. Now here's another smart speaker, David Lloyd. Radio
Moment. This week, 35 years ago, commercial radio was facing a few challenges. Radio Air in Leeds had reported annual losses of over £150,000, Trent almost £100,000, Orwell over £50,000. And many smaller Scottish stations in trouble too. But the biggest losses in 1983 were in Leicester. And that couldn't go on.
A rinky dinky duty, that's Paul Young. Come back and stay. Thank you, Leicestershire. It's been fun. This is Centre Radio 238 AM. And in stereo 97.1 VHF and FM.
It's 1 o'clock. This is Tony Cook at the Centre Radio News Desk. Only one item in today's 1 o'clock news. A press statement has been issued in the last few minutes by the Board of Directors of Leicester and Leicestershire Local Radio PLC, trading as Centre Radio. And it reads as follows. The Board of Directors were acquainted last evening with the fact that the IBA, the Independent Broadcasting Authority, had ruled against an offer being made by Crestnote, a company formed by Mr. Geoffrey Poynton together with a consortium for the shares of Leicester and Leicestershire Radio PLC. Under the circumstances, the board have no alternative but to cease trading.
The end of Centre Radio in Leicester this week in 1983, the first commercial radio casualty. For commercial radio, the smaller stations had the challenges, but for BBC local radio, it was the opposite. Historically, its struggles have been in the bigger cities. This week in 1970, BBC Local Radio arrived in London. Let's eavesdrop on day one.
This is BBC Radio London, broadcasting on 95.3 VHF. Good morning. I'm Peter Redhouse, the manager of BBC Radio London, and I'd like to welcome you all as listeners to our first morning's broadcasts. The time is 6:45, and Tom Vernon introduces our very first programme, Rush Hour.
A piece of music called Strong Coffee, definitely with a continental flavour. And other continental flavour tonight at the Albert Hall. Joe Bugner, Britain's best heavyweight prospect for years, faces one of the toughest fights of his career at the Albert Hall tonight. And his opponent is Eduardo Corletti of Argentina.
I'd like to see the Thames, which is London's greatest asset, and with enormous potential, much more used. A really big recreational area.
Mr. Desmond Plummer, leader of the GLC. We'll be talking to both the Lord Mayor of London and the Lord Mayor of Westminster in our late afternoon news and music sequence, Home Run, from 4:30 to 6:30 this afternoon.
How do you feel about computers? If you'd like to get to grips with them, Computer 70 at Olympia is exhibiting £20 million worth of computer hardware. It's intended mainly for businessmen, but they hope to intrigue the general public too, as David Evans explained to me.
Well, there are a number
BBC Radio London items. Arriving this week 48 years ago. But 30 years ago this week, the station closed, ready for something new.
This is Greater London Radio, and as I'm sure you will have noticed by now, we the BBC have been paying you the patronise, the seamless blend of fabby music and white on grooves. Lay that on my jive granny. Sorry to say that all this changes, as from 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday the 25th of October. Interruptions to the music will then be performed by a host of celebrities and stars, and also appearing will be Nick, who he, Abbott, Emma, oh my god, Freud, Johnny, who him, Walker, Timbo the Bimbo, and Tommy.
Tests for the new GLR, which lasted 12 years. After a host of names, the station, of course, is now back to Radio London.
We're going back to the name that never really went away. It's a name which continues to underline what we really are. London's radio station.
5 years ago this week now, and a new presenter on the Today programme.
Coming up in the next hour of the programme, a year after the Taliban shot the schoolgirl Malala Yousafzai, I'll be reporting from Pakistan's Swat Valley, where she lived, on the lasting effects of the attack on the region. And we'll be talking about stress and bees.
Michelle Hussain making her debut on Today on Radio 4. Later that week, in 2013, the programme was hosted by four women for the very first time, with female sports and newsreaders, as well as the two female presenters. Here's a useful trivia answer. What was the first ever ad on UK commercial radio back in 73?
I'm speaking to you from high up in the Royal Albert Hall in London. There's a huge crowd of celebrities here this morning, and they've all gathered in this historic building to join with the Bird's Eye Company celebrating the start of commercial radio in London. Now everyone turns towards the stage as the massed bands of the Grenadier and Irish Guards take their places alongside the City of London.
The first ad on LBC, and thus the first ever on commercial radio this week in 73 from Bird's Eye. Back then, of course, there was a limit on advertising of just 9 minutes per hour. Many stations nowadays, of course, up to 12 and beyond. Back then, ads on many stations were in units of 15 seconds rather than 10 seconds, and there was no sponsorship. Content controllers and commercial directors just didn't speak. Here's a programme which has lasted 70 years, and it's as good as ever. This week in 1948, after an idea from the great Frank Gillard.
Rather a sad question, this. In view of the apparent world shortage of meat and fats, do you consider that we shall ever again be able to go to the butcher and grocer and order what quantity and kind of meat and fats we require, or shall we have to be content with a generally lower standard of living than pre-war? Ralph Whiteman, I'm sure you can answer this.
I'm afraid that up to a point we should.
Any questions beginning in Winchester this week in 1948? Radio 2 is now a giant, and this week, 15 years ago, Leslie Douglas became its controller.
It was business as usual because Jim was incredibly generous. I mean, incredibly generous to me, and included me in everything. I mean, there wasn't anything that I wasn't included in with him. Obviously, I knew all of the presenters. I knew all of their agents, all of the contractual side. I was across the business side of it. I was across. All of that was straightforward, really, in lots of ways. And there were brilliant people around me. The bit that you have to then go, oh, God, is when you have a profile. And I never wanted a profile. It was never what I sought.
Leslie Douglas. Finally this week, a happy birthday. Not many broadcasters are still on air at 95. Happy birthday, Nicholas Parsons.
Clement Freud, it is your turn to talk this time for 60 seconds on The English Nanny, starting now.
The English Nanny.
Nicholas Parsons. So, with Ocean Sound launching 32 years ago.
From this moment on, today and every day, Ocean Sound is your radio station.
Mark and Lard ending on Radio 1 Breakfast 21 years ago.
You like dinner ladies,
cheese,
don't you?
Yeah. You like Friends, mate.
Yes,
I've never seen Friends in my life, so it might be great.
And EMAP Big City stations saying they would join the new commercial radio chart show again as it relaunched as Hit 40 UK. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. And also thanks to our regulars, James Cridland and Roy Martin, and guests this week, Glenn Hunt and Jamie Theakston, and to you as well for listening. There'll be another episode of the Radio Today programme, talking all things radio, same time next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.